the Kim Pagano show.
Yay!
I know. I don't know if our intro even came on or what. So, but I'm here. I'm Kim. I've got Dr. Stephen Trudeau.
Yeah.
And I've got Steve on the board. And we've got a really great show for you today. Actually, we're just going to kind of talk and invite everybody in because, you know, there's always a chance that people out there want to talk about something.
Anything,
yeah. And, you know, Dr. Stephen Trudeau's here, and he is a licensed therapist.
Clinical psychologist,
yes.
Yeah.
And mm-hmm. You are in Westlake.
Westlake Village.
Yeah. Yeah, so I thought that I would open my lines up and see if there is anything that anybody has out there that they're thinking about with all these crazy times. Let's see, the stocks and, you know, the first time in history that our
credit rating has been downgraded.
I know.
You know, my credit rating is still AAA.
Yeah, what is that? Yeah.
You know why?
Why?
I pay my bills.
So, exactly.
Yeah.
I
on
have
time.
AAA.
I, oh,
me too.
And I have this really amazing strategic plan is that I spend less than I make.
Good for you.
Yeah, I've been doing that for years, and it seems to be working
yeah,
for me.
Yeah, and you know what I do is I put away half of what I try to make, you know,
mm-hmm.
and then I spend only half of that. I
wow.
mean, yeah, if I can, you know what I mean? That's
Now, they would describe you as a prodigious accumulator of wealth.
Really?
Right. As opposed to our government, which is a prodigious spender of wealth.
Yeah, kind of crazy, huh?
Well, I mean, if you're a squirrel out there collecting nuts, you know your winter's coming. You only have so much time to get everything you need, not for today, but for tomorrow as well, and to last you all the way through until springtime when you can go out and collect more nuts. So it's just simple. It seems to be simple economics. Just take care of your business.
Take care. But, you know, then there is the knowledge of future tripping, right?
Yeah.
And so, you know, how do you fall in between that where, you know, you kind of are living in the moment, but yet thinking about the future? Because you really do have to think about the future.
Most of us live beyond our means, though. I mean, in reality, even when it gets tough and tight for me and I realize, wow, you know, my mortgage and things like that, I could, if I really, really had to, I could downgrade into a smaller house, into a smaller apartment or something like that, if I had to. I don't want to.
Correct.
I enjoy my life.
Exactly.
And as long as I can continue to support it, then that's my choice.
Absolutely.
And it is all about choices,
and
isn't it?
And it is. And in fact, that's what we're going to be talking about today. So I am so glad that you all joined us here on my show, which I call the Kim Pagano Show. I'm Kim. I'm here with Dr. Stephen Trudeau. And we're going to be talking about our lives. And, you know, and then actually at the second part of our show, which we are going to have Peter Baskus back. Mm. Bacchus on, and his book is really cool. It's none of my business what you think of me, and if you want to change your life, change the way you are looking at it. And I really believe that.
Mm-hmm. Very
you know,
true.
And it's funny. This weekend was crazy. Crazy good.
Oh,
you
nice.
Know. You know. I'm kind of just trying to have dessert first. That's how I look at it, because we did everything under the sun. And yes, I'm a little tired, but you know what? We did everything under the sun. It was really cool. And I mean under the sun.
Yeah.
We were down, let's see.
You have
a
little glow to you. Did you catch a few rays?
Yes, I did. You know, I had my hat on. I had a little sunblock, but still got me. But anyways, we were down. We bowled down in Westwood, which was really cool.
Wow.
And then we went to Malibu, and we had a softball game. I watched this
mm-hmm,
time. Usually
mm-hmm.
I play, but mm-hmm. I just watched. I was relaxing out there, barbecue. And then last night we had our family dinner. Oh, and we also went to a wrestling match. One of my son's friends was in a wrestling match
wow.
up in Newhall.
Wow.
Talk about crazy.
Now, is this the...
That's entertainment.
The
strictly.
Entertainment wrestling?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. As opposed to the Greco-Roman wrestling.
Yeah.
Okay.
This is strictly entertainment. It's almost like, really? Okay, you know.
It's like cartoon superheroes.
It's cartoon superheroes.
Yeah.
You just nailed it right
yeah.
there. So, but it was fun. You know what? I mean, and you know what? I stress to everybody that to think out of the box.
Mm-hmm.
Think out of the box. There is so many things to
oh
do every single
Ventura
day.
Ventura County Fair is
the
here.
The Ventura County Fair, yeah. I mean, and last night.
Concerts in the park. I mean, there are things.
There
every. We live in a wonderful place for that sort of thing.
Absolutely. And there should be nothing that, no reason that you would be at home by yourself lonely.
No. Well, you know how teenagers will use the phrase, I'm
Bored. Yeah.
I haven't been bored since, I don't know, 1986, I think.
Why do you think that is?
I have more on my list of things to do right now than I have time left in my life to complete.
What are some of the things on
your
list?
Oh, my goodness. I mean, I'm working on two books right now that I'm trying to write concurrently. One is called Parenting Tune-Up Tips, and they're just little like two-page essays on how to solve one particular thing working with your teenager or your child. And then another one is a pet project of mine, Becoming Human, and it's kind of like a manual of Life 101, all the things I've ever learned in life that I think young people actually are smart enough to know. And I wish somebody would have told me that stuff when I was in high school.
Well, you know, that's kind of along where we're going today, because I feel like life is kind of like a GPS. Mm-hmm. We're born, we're taught, we learn to walk, then we learn to go to school, right? I mean, then we're expected, like, what's the next thing to do? We go to college, you know, some of us, right? Mm-hmm. And what about really rethinking where our life is at? And looking at what is it that we personally, what's our journey? What are we meant for to be here? Mm-hmm. Instead of just going along the lines of what it's expected of us.
Right. I mean, we've determined that, like, for instance, going to college is mandatory for success. If you don't go to college, you cannot be successful. And there's actually quite a movement going on right now where people are saying, maybe not. Maybe if you're bright and intelligent and motivated, maybe the typical college track isn't necessarily for you. Go ahead and be an entrepreneur.
Right. I definitely agree.
Yeah. And, I agree. It's totally college is something that as children, you learn everything step by step. And mm-hmm. we're almost like a leaf floating down a river. As you know, when you were progressing through our lives and everything we do, we go to college, and then you know, we do what everybody else is doing just because that's what seems like the right thing to do. So mm-hmm. You need to draw that line. You know, when am I going to break off of that and do what I really want to do? Because college isn't necessarily for everyone, and everybody chooses different career paths. It's just a matter of mm-hmm. being able to follow your own path instead of one that was already made for you.
And great point. And a lot of our parents have our dreams, you know?
Yeah.
And so then do we look at, is that really our dream or is that our parents' dream? That's mm-hmm. where you want to start to kind of cut that off.
Going to the family business.
Yeah.
You know?
Or not. I mean,
hundreds of years ago, you were apprenticed. Mm-hmm. Or you did your parents' job. Those were your two choices. The third option was run away, join the circus, or pursue what you really wanted to do. Today, people have so many choices, that smorgasbord laid out before them, that they're afraid that if they choose one thing, then they will be eliminating all the other choices. So I think kids are taking longer and longer to really find their path, and they're just kind of going with the flow. And they're still coming out unsatisfied because they're not following their passion.
Hmm. Right. When you find your passion, then you're going to be living in your purpose.
Like your oldest son is a racer.
Yes.
I mean, that's a passion. It's clear.
Oh, it's
clear.
Clear
that
yeah.
that's what he wants to do.
Exactly. And, you know, at the same time, he has to make sure that he has all his backups.
Yeah.
Which is good.
Sure.
But
because you can't race forever.
No. And it, just in case, I mean, it's a small amount that gets in.
Right.
So what is he going to do with his life if he doesn't get in? Mm-hmm. And that's what you
want. And maybe it is in racing, but if he has that education background, now he's got that knowledge and that breadth and depth to be a very intelligent businessman within the racing community.
Definitely. Yeah. You know, I just want to let everybody know, if you're just tuning in right now, you are listening to the Kim Pagano Show. I'm Kim. I'm here with Dr. Stephen Trudeau, and Steve's on the board. And I want to hear from you. Give us a call at 805-639-0008 if you are living your passion, if you've done something that, you know, you didn't just go down the family road and mm-hmm. you actually took a different turn, which is totally cool. I love that. Also, we're on Facebook at the Kim Pagano Show. You can Facebook us a question, or you can Twitter us on Kim Pagano Show. We're all over. And you can even, check out my website at the Kim Pagano Show. And I welcome you to join us in our conversation today.
I noticed your Kim Pagano show on Facebook is getting a lot more likes lately.
Thank you.
It's really bumping up.
Yeah. You know what's funny is I think I had something on there that you could only be, what was it, Steve? 13?
20. Yeah. You had to be older than 21.
Yeah. Oh. So all these people like signed up, which I guess there's a, you know, a lot of my younger friends out there, and they were bumped off. Isn't that weird? So you got to look at stuff like that, you know? Because I was like, okay, I'm up to this much, and then I'm back down. I'm like, what is happening? I'm like, dude, you know? But and it's funny, is it? It's none of my business what you think of me, right? But yet everybody wants their Facebooks, and what is that about?
That social networking, it is exactly that we're trying to stay connected with or, I don't know, get inside the minds of our friends and have them... People are afraid that when we're out of somebody's mind that we don't exist, that we're not looking at them face to face, that's it, we cease to exist. And that's terrifying for people to feel very alone. People who are massively depressed feel like they are incredibly alone. But if they post a little something up on Facebook saying, I'm having a really bad blue day.
And everybody goes, so am I, right?
Man, you just get nailed with it. And people just click, and they, you know, they offer words of inspiration. You're not alone out there. You never were alone before Facebook or any of the rest. It's out there. It's just sometimes it's hard to connect with people because of either technology or distance or getting out of your house. You know, maybe walk outside of your apartment and look up at the sun and get a little on your face, get some vitamin D, and get out there.
I was just going to say vitamin D, yeah. And you know what? I mean, if you have animals, that's a perfect thing. Take them for a walk. Mm-hmm. There's just so many things. I really just really want everybody to rethink their life. Rethink their life and kind of walk through every day of your life thinking, what's my purpose here?
Yeah. Choices. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, and we think we're kind of victims of life. Or at least we behave most of the time. This morning I got up. I'm ready to ride my motorcycle down here to the station. And I didn't check the weather before I put my pants on this morning. And I go outside and it's Thousand Oaks is completely socked in with fog.
Yes, it is.
And I thought, I didn't leave myself enough time to get here. Because it's going to be foggy and slow on the freeway all the way to the station. And, you know, I felt like a victim. I felt like, wow, why weather like this today? Why does it have to be on Monday that the fog is socked in when I need to get somewhere quick in the morning? But I took a deep breath and I got on the road and I got here before you.
Yeah, so really, and that's, you know what, you just nailed another thing right there is a lot of people think that they set themselves up for rejection. Mm-hmm. We went yesterday to Malibu. A perfect day, okay, for a barbecue and a softball game. Well, it was kind of overcast and cold, and everybody's like, we didn't bring jackets, we didn't. It's like, really, it's going to burn off. You've got to kind of just turn things around and look at,
and stop being a victim.
And
if you can control how you react to life, what you put into life. I went to my grandmother's funeral this weekend.
That, yeah.
No, it was good to go to a funeral.
Right.
I mean, celebrate her life. She was 93 years old. And, you know, this was our opportunity to give her a great send-off. And, you know, I thought about all the things she did do in life and a lot of the things she didn't do. She was kind of a recluse. She loved reading and staying by herself. She wasn't an overtly social person. And, you know, some people would judge and say, wow, did she live a great life? She actually did live a great life. But it had to do with what she put into it and the choices that she made. Like all of us, I like people, so I get out there and I interact with people. I don't sit at home and say, wow, I like people, and I wish people would come and knock on my door and introduce themselves to me. I go out and do it myself. You have to, you get out of life what you put into it.
Right.
And that's, you know, the essence of it. You have to take charge.
And here's a big thing. How do you feel, you know, like, you know, if you have a couple situation and somebody's single, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, how do they feel like they're not alone?
You mean
alone?
Like third wheel?
No. Okay, so usually, you know, it's kind of like a couple is kind of a force together. They can walk in together. You kind of have the other one to lift you up, right? But if you're just a single out there, you have to feel enough in your own.
Yeah.
That's a big thing.
You know what? One of the pieces of homework I give to clients who come to my office and discuss this very thing, and it's very common. I have young men, young women, middle-aged people come in, whatever, and they say, I'm alone, and I don't like being alone. I want to be coupled up so that I can go to the movies. And I say, go to the movies. You don't need a couple to go to the movies. No, I feel weird.
Yeah,
so I give them that homework. Too. I want you to go out to an actual sit-down dinner by yourself. I want you to go to the movies by yourself. I want you to go experience life and go to all the go bowling by yourself. Pick up your ball and bowl away and enjoy it, because living life is what gets you introduced to other people. But people are afraid, oh, everybody's looking at me sitting at that table all alone. They must be thinking, it's none of my business what you think of me. That's the book that we're going to be talking about.
I know. I'm
you
really know? Excited.
I don't
exactly.
care what people
yeah.
think.
And you have to get out and see the world and live the world, or else you can't understand the world, you know?
Yeah.
And that's
and you have something to talk about when you are coupled up.
Right.
You and know, you, when you meet somebody. You
right. And you know what? You have to not be boring yourself.
Right.
Okay, I mean, really, you know, and
what are you going to talk about?
Yeah, and you can't be, you know, having a pity party.
Yeah, what'd you do this past weekend? Oh, I went bowling. Really? Did you go with friends? No, I just felt like going bowling. I went and threw the ball by myself.
I always say, I went with my best friend. And they're like, who is that? Me, myself, and I. All right, well, with that, we are going to take a really quick break. You're listening to the Kim Pagano Show. Give us a call here if you have anything that you want to talk about at 805-639-0008. We'll be right back. Stay with us.
Join us at the Lewis Music Academy this summer and let our family teach your family to love music. We offer private and group instruction for piano, guitar, bass, drums, voice, violin, viola, and cello. We also have a perfect cure for the summertime blues with our rock and roll summer camps. And for your adorable MIDI music lovers, we have an exciting Music for Tots program for children ages 3 to 5. Visit our website at lewismusicacademy.com and let our family teach your family to love music.
Do you ever feel like school gets in the way of your time with your children?
Wait, what do you mean? Doesn't everyone have their children in school all day, then fight with them to get homework finished in addition to everything else that needs to be done?
You must not have heard about Somas Academy Charter School right here in Camarillo.
What is Somas Academy?
Somas Academy has changed our lives. I'm so sorry I haven't shared this with you sooner. Somas Academy is a public school which is aligned with state standards and allows me to school my child on our time, giving us much more time for our family.
I'm not a teacher. How do you do this?
Trust me, I didn't think I could do it either. At Somas Academy, I partner with a great supervising teacher who guides us through the educational process. It's been so successful for us. Not only that, Somas Academy offers individualized learning for kindergarten through 12th grade, friendly teachers, park days and field trips, on-campus enrichment days, and specialized teachers for classes and labs for high school.
Wow, that sounds like a great fit for our family.
Call Somas Academy today for more information at 987-1188, extension 100, or visit their website at somas-academy.org.
Did you hear John down the street passed away? He was so young.
Oh, wasn't he a single father?
Yes. I have no idea what they're going to do. What would we do if that happened?
Ooh, who would take care of our kids?
Oh, we really need to get a plan in place, but where do we even start?
I am attorney David R. Schneider, and this kind of problem plays out every day for families of Ventura County who do not plan accordingly. Making a plan to help your family in the event of a tragedy is very important. Let me help you by answering all your questions and show you ideas on how to plan, not for future events, but to protect your family from waste and bad investments through the use of a comprehensive estate plan using a revocable living trust. Call me at the law offices of David R. Schneider, 374-8777. Listeners of the Kim Pagano Show receive a free one-hour, no-obligation consultation, a $275 value. Give us a call at 374-8777 and say you heard about us from the Kim Pagano Show. Let us help. Call 374-8777. That's 374-8777.
This is the Kim Pagano Show on AM 1400 KKZZ. Are you a fan of Kim on Facebook yet? If not, it's extremely easy. Simply go to facebook.com/TheKimPaganoShow and press the like button. You can find all about what's coming up on upcoming shows, as well as be entered in special contests to win monthly prizes. It's all for free on Facebook at facebook.com/TheKimPaganoShow. And now, once again, here's Kim.
Welcome back, everyone, and I'm so glad you joined me this morning here on the Kim Pagano Show. We actually had a Facebook question, right? What was it, Steve?
Yeah, actually, someone had a question for Dr. Trudeau, wanting to know, this fits in perfect for our Motivation Mondays, but they actually want to know, you know, on Mondays when, you know, they're restarting their week.
Yeah.
They said, how do I get motivation when I kind of just wake up on the wrong side of the bed?
Nice.
And I need to turn my day around.
Yeah, very common, huh?
Yeah.
How did the I Hate Mondays get started? I mean, it is a common human experience, and we're trying to make a difference here. We're trying to say, you know what? Life is a choice. Let's look at Monday like, you know what? This is a perfect opportunity to get started with my new experience for the week.
Right.
You know, like when you start a new job, you're all excited. Like, oh, I got hired and I get to start this new job and I get to roll my sleeves up and get to work on this project and we're going to make a difference. Well, that's your life. Your life is your project.
That's right. And oh, I love that.
I have a couple of steps that I actually like to take when I myself wake up not as chipper as I'd like on a Monday or almost any day of the week. The first thing I do and the first thing I advise people to do is breathe. We forget because breathing is one of those things that's controlled by a couple of systems. Our autonomic nervous system controls when we are not thinking about it, but when we choose to, we can control our breathing. We can bring it under our conscious control and slowly take a deep breath in and then breathe it out slowly. Don't just blow it out. Don't just blow it out forcefully. Let it, almost like you're blowing through a straw. Let that oxygen linger. And breathe in again, this time imagining it's like white light, pure oxygen energy entering your body. And as you breathe out, you're breathing out like the carbon dioxide and any negativity, almost like a bit of a gray cloud, like smoke. So in with the white light and out with the gray smoke and letting loose that negativity. Just breathing like that alone will start to brighten your day. Also remember,
why is that?
Oxygen is essential to our life. And when you're sleeping, you probably you're taking very shallow breaths when you're sleeping. So when you first wake up, your lungs have not been exercised at all. None of the muscles surrounding your lungs or your ribs have been exercised at all. You haven't gone for your run. You haven't run up and down a set of stairs or anything.
Oh, yeah.
So you have to remember to take that oxygen level when you've only been using maybe the top quarter of your lung and get that oxygen deep down in. And then the blood will start circulating. The red blood cells will be picking up that oxygen and waking up your brain. Your brain uses so much of the oxygen within your system and the glucose in your system. Of course, you're going to wake up feeling a little groggy. Yeah, exactly. And people immediately think, well, you know what? I need to fix that. I need caffeine.
Yeah.
No, you need oxygen. Yeah. So take some deep cleansing breaths.
Do you not drink coffee in the morning?
Oh, no. Can you imagine me on coffee?
Oh, gosh. Okay.
That ADHD would just go through the roof.
That's great.
I thought it works the opposite. No?
Yeah, actually it does. If you're hyperactive, caffeine is supposed to calm you down
right.
because of the brain imbalance. But
So you got to just essentially start from the inside out. I mean, that's a great place to start your own body. I mean, if you want to turn it.
Exactly, you know. Steve. You have to start from the inside out. And you start by saying, wow, I feel groggy. What's wrong? Hey, maybe I need some oxygen. And remember to roll your shoulders back, because when you're sleeping, you tend to roll your shoulders forward and you're breathing real shallow, and which is great for sleep. But when you wake up, you're supposed to stretch and greet the day. Get those shoulders back, open up your chest cavity and breathe real deep, really slowly. Let that oxygen saturate.
Okay, then the feeling next better thing already.
Right. And then the next thing you do, take a shower.
Yeah, okay.
A cleansing shower. You get in the water and you feel that nice water rinsing off any negativity. It's like a ritual.
Mm.
And the smells that are in our shampoos and our soaps and our essential oils, they invigorate. Your sense of smell is connected directly to your brain. It's the shortest path from a sense to your brain is your nose. So go ahead and breathe in those wonderful smells. Open up the windows. Get some fresh air going. Then eat something. You haven't eaten for 8 hours or more, maybe 12, maybe 16 hours for some people.
That's your break,
skipping
your fast,
and
correct?
Yeah, break your fast. Thank you.
There you go.
Skipping breakfast is the single worst thing you can do for your attitude, your mood, and your general overall health. Eat something.
Yeah.
Break
the
fast.
These are so simple.
I know.
These are so simple, everyone.
And yet we think that because they're simple, we shouldn't do them. They're too simple. Right. No, it can't be that easy. Yes, it is.
Right.
It literally is that easy. Wow.
And when you're getting started for your day, especially too, you need to stimulate everything. And I know, you know, the shower is a great place to get your thoughts together,
yep,
to create an outline for the upcoming day.
And that's the next step. You have to plan for the next thing you're going to do that day, and something good you're going to do for yourself. That's the first thing you plan. Plan to go to the beach. Plan to go to the park for even just a few minutes. Plan to go to church.
Look forward to.
Plan to visit a friend. Plan to do something for you. Now, I know we're saying Monday, man, I've got to go to work. I've got to do this. I've got to pay the bills. Let go of that for now. And the first thing you put on your to-do list is something for you. You don't have to do it immediately, but make sure it's on your list of things to do today. Something for you. And then plan to accomplish at least one major goal. I'm going to pay all of my bills today. I'm going to go to work and I'm going to get that project report in so that nobody gets mad at me for not finishing my work.
There's a lot of people that, you know, kind of just put their life off every day.
Oh my God, it just keeps piling up and
mm-hmm. piling up. And then it's almost unbearable to look back on.
Right. And
that's what the whole problem is.
And the more those unaccomplished goals pile up, the more daunting it seems.
Right.
And it seems like I'll never be able to do it. So why even start?
So I kind of live in a maintenance world. Okay. Mm. I really do. And I try to just keep chipping off at my mountain every single day.
Yeah.
A little bit more.
Yeah.
And I really, when I wake up, you know, I am a little groggy like everybody else. But I'm like, ah, a gift, another gift of a day that I can do anything I want with what I, you know, take care of my responsible list, right? But then, you know what? Do, like you said, do something nice for yourself.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Yeah. What a great list.
Yeah.
Is that what you do every day?
I wouldn't say I do it every day, but I remind myself when I'm feeling, gee, why do I feel kind of funky today? Oh, I didn't do my thing. That's right. I got to remember to breathe. I got to remember to roll my shoulders back and breathe deep. And, you know, meditation is one of those things that so many people really should do. And I probably meditate more than most people, but not as much as I would like to. I have to remind myself to say, wow, it's been a couple of days since I've meditated. It's time to go do it again. And I meditate on my breathing. It's so simple. It's so easy. You don't need to go to a class. You don't need to go to a school. Just focus on your breathing.
And now, what about exercising? You know, you didn't really say that, did you? Walking or anything like that?
We were talking about rearranging our attitude waking up on Monday, but exercise, of course, is the cheapest, most effective antidepressant there is.
Right. Get those endorphins going.
Get those endorphins going. Get the blood moving. Get the lymph system moving. Biomechanical, all of that stuff plays into your emotions, plays into your thoughts. We need to be balanced.
Right. I'll tell you another thing that helps me. Okay. So I wake up. I do have my one cup of coffee in the morning. It's decaf, but I do have
it. It's all right.
Yeah.
It's a tasty bean, they tell me.
Yeah, exactly. There you go. Anyway, so I do that. I kind of read the newspaper, kind of listen to the news, that kind of thing. Then I write my little list.
Mm-hmm.
And then I go, before I get in the shower, I get my outfit ready.
Oh, do you?
And I'll tell you why. Okay, guys don't really have this problem.
I'm wearing a lovely outfit today.
I know, you look beautiful. Yeah, but you know what? I'm serious. That used to be my thing. I would be like, oh, I don't feel good in this, and that doesn't work. And, you know, because you don't know what your mood is.
Mm-hmm.
And so I lay it out, and I'm committed to that.
Clothing by mood. I like it.
I do. And it's funny because a lot of people say, oh, what are you going to wear to that party? Are you kidding me? I have no idea.
Until like 2 minutes before I walk out the door.
I walk in and I go, bing, bing, and that's it. And I put my whole outfit, get in the shower, get dressed, and I'm committed to that outfit.
Nice. Oh, and it is true that certain clothes make you feel a certain way.
Right.
When a man dresses in a suit, he just feels, I don't know, more powerful, more commanding, more accomplished.
Right.
And when you're lounging around in your Bermuda shorts with the holes in them.
And the other thing, the old t-shirt, is like what you just said about take your shower, start your day, be ready for anything that comes.
I'll even do it more than one a day sometime.
Awesome. I just feel like, you know,
a little quick blow dry, but just to rinse off that, I don't know, there's something a little negative floating around.
You're absolutely right, because my husband does that. You know, he'll just don't. I'm like, oh, you took one this morning. He goes, yeah, I know. I just need to refresh myself.
Yeah, a little refresher.
And refresh yourself.
And falling water generates what's called negative ions in the air. And negative ions actually are positive for you. They make you feel better. It's kind of like when it's raining. It's very calming, that makes me negative, though. Really?
Yeah, I don't like when it's raining.
Really? Rain is, especially in Southern California, rain is so essential. But or a waterfall. Maybe that's a better example.
A waterfall. Love the ocean.
Water in motion tends to release negative ions, which actually balance us and make us feel better. The wind, for a lot of people, is very unnerving because it's a lot of positive ions, and it doesn't necessarily feel so good. A little bit of static in the hair, that kind of thing.
Yeah, I love that. We are going to take a really quick break. You're listening to The Kim Pagano Show. I'm Kim. I'm here with Dr. Stephen Trudeau. We're trying to give you a little bit of a Motivation
Monday. I love this conversation.
I know. It's and like just, you know what? I hope that you're taking it in and taking some notes.
And you know what? I would love to give away
a free session
with me.
Okay.
Yeah, Dr. Stephen Trudeau. I'm in Westlake Village. So call in at, 805-639-0008.
Yeah.
And I'll give you a free session to come on down and have an hour with me to talk about your life and who you are.
Can I come?
Yeah, and what we can do to create a plan to make you better.
And not only, you know, it's funny, I was just over by there having lunch at the Zen, what an incredible place. So we will, you know what, we'll take caller number...
Three.
You got it. Perfect. All right. We'll be right back. Stay with us. You're listening to The Kim Pagano Show, and we'll be right back.
Downwards, left and right, to not influence the return of the game.
Here's what your neighbors are saying about George Thompson Diamond Company in Camarillo off the 101 in Las Poses in the Target Center.
The quality is excellent.
Quality diamonds for less money.
I like the prices here.
Definitely better quality.
And I think the quality is very good.
Oh, the prices are much lower here.
Price? Can't beat it.
The price is excellent.
I don't think you can beat the price.
Best prices.
The service here is excellent.
George has been wonderful.
All the help is professional and friendly, and they know us by name when we walk in. It's really nice.
The prices and the people. Always had good customer service when I came in here. That's what kept me coming back.
The prices are right. The people are so friendly. They're there to help you. A family company, you know, somebody that's been around.
I'd have to recommend George Thompson.
We've had wonderful service here.
Good quality, good prices, very friendly. I always say George Thompson.
Thank you very much, George.
If I were to recommend a jewelry store, I would recommend George Thompson, your friend in the diamond business.
Beat the internet and save up to 75% at George Thompson Diamond Company at the 101 and Las Poses Road in the Target Center, right next to Staples. George Thompson Diamond Company.
Do you ever feel like school gets in the way of your time with your children?
Wait, what do you mean? Doesn't everyone have their children in school all day, then fight with them to get homework finished in addition to everything else that needs to be done?
You must not have heard about Somas Academy Charter School right here in Camarillo.
What is Somas Academy?
Somas Academy has changed our lives. I'm so sorry I haven't shared this with you sooner. Somas Academy is a public school which is aligned with state standards and allows me to school my child on our time, giving us much more time for our family.
I'm not a teacher. How do you do this?
Trust me, I didn't think I could do it either. At Somas Academy, I partner with a great supervising teacher who guides us through the educational process. It's been so successful for us. Not only that, Somas Academy offers individualized learning for kindergarten through 12th grade, friendly teachers, park days and field trips, on-campus enrichment days, and specialized teachers for classes and labs for high school.
Wow, that sounds like a great fit for our family.
Call Somas Academy today for more information at 987-1188, extension 100, or visit their website at somas-academy.org.
Welcome back, everyone, and thank you so much for staying with us. We had lots of calls, and we did have a winner, so I appreciate that. Yeah, they're
good. I love being able to help people.
I know. I love to help people. Yeah, that's why I come every day, you know?
You're the girl, man.
Well, so are you. I appreciate you being here. So we actually have our next guest, and we have Peter Baxa. And are you there, Peter?
Yes, I am.
Hey, how are you?
I love the title of this book.
So do I. And you know what's funny is I was just somewhere yesterday and they were mentioning your book. And I'm like, oh, my God, I got them on my show tomorrow. So your book is It's None of My Business What You Think of Me. And if you want to change your life, change the way you are looking at it. And I that is like really how I truly believe. I believe that, you know, we need to be our own producer of our own show here. So I love that. Tell us a little bit about, you know, your name and how you came up with it and you have a couple books, don't you?
Yeah, this is an offshoot of the first book, The Point of Power.
The
Point of Power is essentially it's a study that kind of it interweaves quantum physics and theology.
Mm-hmm.
Talks about how we create our lives in the natural, and I try to direct people towards observing their thoughts and watching the effect. And this book is an offshoot. It's more of a layman's approach, where it's more brass tacks. I don't really go into the quantum or into theology, but I talk about all the contracts that we make with ourselves during our domestication period.
When you say contracts, what do you mean by that?
Essentially, the contracts that we develop with ourselves, essentially, based on our domestication. As we grow up, our belief systems are based on essentially the relationships with people that we have around us, starting with our parents, you know, your employer, your girlfriend, your boyfriend, your husband, your wife, those folks that essentially you create contracts with. And some of those contracts are good contracts, and some of them are not. I sailed a boat up the East Coast, and I interviewed people going just about every 2 hours we stopped and did a film interview and a documentary on how people, I asked them three questions. How do you determine your beliefs in politics, religion, and then how do you decide what sort of food to put in your mouth? And I thought the answers were really interesting. I mean, I interviewed people from all walks of life, from homeless people to doctors, lawyers, housewives, guys that were working on the dock. And the interesting thing that came of it was that, you know, the way that we develop these contracts is it's not necessarily a good way of formulating a way to run your life. Many of the contracts that we grow up with tell us who we are and then how we're going to react to given situations.
So what was the most common answer?
Well, it was always based on a relationship. In other words, my parents directed me this way.
Mm-hmm.
It was basically whoever was next to you, you chose that.
Wow. So it's never about us, it's about them.
Well, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's like you read my book.
Yeah, I mean, really, but that is true. I mean, I really believe that. That's something I talk about on my show, is we're all learned.
Yeah. But little kids, they're natural to seek the approval of their parents, and their parents are the masterful adults in their universe, so they want to be like them. It's at what point in our lives do we take charge and no longer really need or have to live our lives according to the principles of what other people expect of us.
I would say the sooner the better.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know. There's a couple of 13-year-olds out there who think they know it all.
Well, yeah, exactly. But, you know, what's funny is, well, when you're, you know, you have kids. I've got four. And I remember when they're about 12 or 13, all of a sudden they think you know nothing, you know. And it's like, really, how did you get this far, you know? But then you're right. And then you want them to. I mean, I give my kids, I hope that I've given them wings to fly on their own and develop whatever road they're taking, because I have really passionate children. And, you know, and I think we all have so many directions, and it's like, what can we all bring back to the table?
No, I think the key is, and I bring up a few people that we all know about. Bill Gates, who started Microsoft, went to Harvard University, and I met his father once, and it was really clear to me how he was able to decide in the middle of being at one of the finest academic institutions to decide, well, I'm just going to shut down this education thing because I got a better thing going called Microsoft.
Mm-hmm.
And if you think about what his domestication taught him, to allow him sufficient space around his thoughts so that he could actually make that decision. And that's what this boils down to. Mm-hmm. It's not that some things are bad, some things are good, but there are some things that actually, some contracts that actually work for us and some contracts that don't.
And you know, it's weird how you say a contract. To me, it's kind of like binding, you know, when you have a contract. So that kind of worries me.
Yeah.
But I like kind of my journey. You know, your journey is, and that to me, what is your thought on that?
No, that's a great way of putting it. In other words, life is supposed to be a journey, and what I find is if we begin to relabel situations. In other words, have you ever been in a relationship with someone that for too long, and you didn't figure it out, and you're like, okay, now it's over, and then you look back and you're like, gosh, I was in that way too long.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Okay. Well. Oftentimes when we're in a relationship, whether it's in a business situation or a legal conflict or a romantic situation, we choose to label those situations as bad. The other person is wrong.
Mm-hmm.
My employer is not treating me fairly. And when we label a situation as bad, the journey stops there. It becomes a static situation and you form resistance. What I talk about is, the way that we respond to that, the way we process those situations is domestication, and that is a contract that I suggest people change in both this book and the last book, and stop rationalizing those behaviors, and rather than bringing resistance to a situation, seek to relabel the situation as a contrasting situation and one that is temporary.
And I love that.
When you begin to relabel, instead of everything being bad and good and judging, the resistance goes away. You begin to realign your behaviors with another objective. You begin to flow in a direction. And use the word journey, which is a great, great way of illustrating the point that the life is supposed to be a journey, and you're supposed to move from one situation to another situation. And what I find, in my life, I've been guilty of the same thing, getting stuck and wanting to argue and wanting to be right. And that's the ego wanting to establish its presence.
Yeah, I definitely agree. I just want to let everybody know, if anybody just is tuning in right now, you're listening to The Kim Pagano Show. I'm Kim. I'm here with Dr. Stephen Trudeau, and we're talking to Peter Baxa, and his book is It's None of My Business What You Think of Me. And, you know, I think that everybody needs to celebrate being different, you know, and you need to do almost like a check-in list of, you know, of what's working for you. Is this really working? And almost like to the point where you stand in front of a mirror, because so many of us kind of lie to ourselves. We lie to ourselves.
Oh, sure.
Why is that? You're a therapist.
People lie to themselves because they create a personal myth. And like Mr. Baxa says, it's largely based on what we think other people think of us. So I wear my hair a certain way because I think that other people will think it's cool or nice or that it fits a certain persona. I personally wear my hair this way because I like it, and it has nothing to do with anybody else likes, because I get actually a lot of feedback from people saying, why don't you cut your hair? Like, well, it's none of your business why I don't cut my hair. I like it.
Right. So you know? Are satisfying yourself.
Right.
And so I think that's really the key to our lives, is satisfying ourselves, not trying to satisfy everyone else.
Well, labels definitely limit us. They limit us and they limit others around us. If you accept a label, you become that label. If you judge someone else, if someone's judging you, basically you're talking about yourself when you're judging someone else. And more importantly, and where the title comes from, it's none of my business what you think of me.
Mm-hmm.
If you're in a situation where you're around judgmental people and people are telling you what to do, which we all were when we were living at home in our domestication.
or in school,
right? Everyone, this is right and this is wrong. If we don't shed those labels, if we don't begin to observe our thoughts and really get a sense of who we really are, who we want to be, more importantly, then you become stuck. And more importantly, you can choose a career. You know, how do careers?
Huge point. Yeah.
Peter, I have a question for you. So how do people start to, and for you, Dr. Stephen, how do you start to find out who you are?
Teenagers.
No.
Separation and individuation is a process that you go through when you're a teenager.
Okay, but what if you haven't got there yet and you're older?
That's the point. You kind of missed part of it. You're still in a bit of an arrested development. If you live your life based on what you think other people think of you and that's important to you, then you haven't fully developed your own individual identity. Am I right, Peter?
Well, I was in Beijing, China a few weeks ago, and I was doing interviews for my next book. And I interviewed some Tibetan monks, and I was standing next to the Laughing Buddha, which was a 9-foot statue of the Laughing, you know, the one you see in garden stores where he's got his hands over his ears.
Yeah.
And he's got a big smile on his face and the big belly. And the Laughing Buddha is an interesting Buddhist, I guess, concept that the Buddha wants us to live life. And what we often do is we have our ears open, and we're continually listening to what other people tell us what to do. And so the process of going, number one, I believe you need to begin to observe your thinking. I mean, you can do that at any point in your life. You don't have to have money. You don't have to be educated. In fact, I think the more educated we are, the more stuck in ego we become. And we oftentimes don't pay a lot of attention to how we feel because we already know what's right. We already know what's wrong because we went to college and we have a master's degree. Some of us have doctorates. If we have doctorates, well, then we're even smarter than people with master's degrees. And so it's a self-fulfilling process and a prophecy. And in fact, this topic for me has been really interesting to talk with people. The higher the education level, in some cases, the more difficult it is to pull them away and have them talk about this topic in an open fashion, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, I definitely agree. So when do you think that you found yourself? Is this something that you did this early on, or is this something like you wrote your book because you're starting to find yourself now?
That's a long story, but I struggled as a child. I was raised in a Lutheran home, and I was in the parochial school. I went to church, and I was just a very precocious child. I didn't believe in Santa Claus. I was like, are you kidding? He's not going to fit down that chimney. What's up with that? And I turned into a parent, I think, in a way. I was like, okay, well, I'll just go along with this. I get gifts out of the deal, but how retarded. You know? I mean, I shouldn't use that word.
No.
But
yeah.
It didn't make any sense to me as a child. And then I would go to church, and I listened to, you know, the sermons, and I would ask questions in Sunday school. And I didn't get answers. And I thought, well, this is another one of those things. This is some sort of con job, or these people don't know what they're talking about. In fact, there is a truth hidden beneath these words. More than likely there is, because I kind of figured out that it had been around for several thousand years. Because things don't last for several thousand years and have no meaning, but it's probably misinterpretation. So what I did in my first book is I did a 10-year literary review of every theological text I could get my hands on, going back to Lao Tzu, and he's the father of Taoism, mm-hmm. all the way through to modern day. And then I took the research of Stephen Hawking and Brian Fenneman and Max Planck and Albert Einstein. All these guys looked at the same concepts that I'm interested in here, and I wove a fabric between theology and quantum physics and started looking at how the brain works. What I found out was there was not a lot of dissension when you took the common denominator. Certainly there were misinterpretations, and there were these texts were written in different languages. So I could certainly understand why the dissension and the debate exists. But when I boiled it down to the things that we all know about, they're all pointing to the same thing. They're all pointing to the same laws and principles, and those laws and principles function whether human beings are on the earth or not. And that's what always struck me as unusual, that, you know, I was Lutheran, so we looked at someone named Jesus Christ, and he was wearing a robe, and this is the guy that, you know, created, and it didn't make any sense to me that you'd objectify something like that and make him into human form. And so the first book talks about that in a great detail, to the point where we developed some theories. I go into science, and I correlate, and then and draw conclusions. And then the last part is goes back to your question, and that is, how do you do it? And I did is looked at these ancient texts.
And life.
They tell you.
Now, so Peter, what will we find when we read your book?
Well,
what's the message?
Business, what you're going to find is it's a great book for parents. It's a great book to talk to review and begin to. It talks about becoming open and gracious and humble and beginning to observe your thinking and really look at the contracts that you have in place, and rather than remaining stuck, begin that journey that you talked about.
All right.
Start moving in a direction.
I love it. And where do we find your book?
You can get the book at Amazon.com, Borders, Barnes & Noble. And I write for the Huffington Post on the topic. I write two articles a week. So if you probably won't be able to spell my last name unless I do it for you, but it's B-A-K-S-A, Peter Baksa. If you go to Huffington, there's a couple articles on non-resistance.
You know what, Peter, can you stay on so Steve can get all your info and we're going to share you with everybody?
How can you guys?
Okay, thank you so much. I appreciate it. All right. Gosh, our show is going by fast.
Yeah, it was a fun day, you know,
to
kind of explore, you know, who we are as people. And, you know, your show is so unique because every day there's something different. I listen in on a Tuesday or a Wednesday or a Thursday. And, you know, you could be talking about hair. You can be talking about food. You can be talking about the essence of life. You know, what you bring is just so bloody cool. I just love your show.
Thank you so much. You know what? I really am all about just adding value.
Oh yeah,
and you know what? It can come in any shape, any size, any time, any moment. You know, you have to be ready and open for any surprises.
Now, you asked the question a little bit earlier, Peter. There, you know, when did you find yourself? You know, and I think
when
I was thinking. Well, I was listening to him talk, and but at the same time, in my mind, I'm thinking, well, wait a minute, when did I find myself? Because I remember being a little kid and being fairly lucid and aware, and kind of observing the incongruencies around me. So I think a little bit then, but there's no definitive moment where I found myself, Dr. Stephen. I still am. I believe in this concept of becoming human. Every day I am becoming the man I'm going to be tomorrow.
And I believe that. We're all on a journey.
Yeah, the journey.
It's the journey that we're talking about. And, you know, I feel like, you know when you're on like a scavenger hunt?
Mm-hmm. I've been on one my whole life.
I love scavenger hunts. Honestly, that's kind of how I live my life.
Yeah, what am I going to find tomorrow?
Yeah, and I pick up people all the way down the road, you know.
You do collect people.
I do. I love to collect people. And I learn from each one of them. And I look at the beauty that each person can give and what their lessons and what they're already learned.
Look, last Monday we had the dog trainer here. And
oh,
I fell in love with this guy. He's coming over to my house, and we are going to set some things up with my dogs. And yet at the same time, the principles he's talking about are the principles that I talk about.
Yeah.
How do we take somebody who we're in charge of and help them become the best that they can be?
Right.
And God, it's such a fun journey. I really love living this life.
I do. I do too. I'm telling you. And every day, I mean, just pick a couple things, you know, wherever you're at. Yesterday, it's funny, I usually would have played softball, but I sat and relaxed and talked to everybody. So I was
and
like,
had a different experience.
And had a different, I mean, really.
You didn't have to live up to anybody's expectations.
No.
Even your own.
No. And even yet, at the same time, it's funny because usually, you know, when you're at a barbecue and you don't know a lot of the people, it was kind of an organization kind of a thing. And, you know, half of my family is one place, half of the other. And usually you go sit by your partner, or you go sit. And I sat where it felt good to me.
Yeah.
I mean, it's kind of a different concept. It's kind of scary. I mean, rethink.
Well, you're risking putting yourself out there.
Right.
And there are people out there who, for whatever reason, they might reject you, but that's their problem.
Exactly.
You don't have to worry what they think of you. You know, what if they had a bad day? You know, that's the way I think of it. If somebody I'm talking to, they just turn their head and start walking the other direction, I'm thinking, boy, I hope everything's okay in their life.
You don't think, what did I do wrong?
No.
Exactly.
Mm-mm.
What a great.
I mean, I might say, you know, check my breath real quick. You know?
Exactly.
But I don't take it personally, because there are so many times where I have not necessarily walked away from people, because I try not to do that, but I've felt like it because there's just so much inner turmoil going on. And I wasn't fully present. So I tend to ascribe that to other people. If somebody cuts me off on the freeway, I usually think it's because they're in a hurry to go to the hospital, and I hope their family member is okay. I don't think they're being a jerk.
Great point.
It's just a different way of living life.
You know, give out all your information, and excited to our winner today.
Yeah, we had somebody call in.
We had a lot of people, we did get our last caller,
Dr. Stephen Trudeau, I'm in Westlake Village. My phone number is 805-794-7270. If you look me up on the internet, on any search engine, you'll find a whole bunch of pages on me. My website is Humans Guide. I'm on Facebook, Dr. Stephen Trudeau on Facebook. Go ahead and like
that.
Me.
I always, whenever you say that, Humans Guide, I love that.
Humans Guide,
there
yeah.
you go. Gosh, well, our show has been fast and it's been furious. I like that. And you have been listening to the Kim Pagano Show. And for any reason you missed any part of this and you didn't have a chance to write something that you thought maybe resonated with your life, you know, you can listen again from 3 to 4. And always you can hear all my shows back on my website, thekimpaganoshow.com. And Facebook us. Become a fan so you can know what's going on, what we're going to be playing next, and be a part of our show. And of course, I end all of my shows with a mommy moment. And today's is, it's not what you look at that matters. It's what you see. I truly believe, you know, put rose-colored glasses on and look at things in a brighter, cheerier way, and your life will start to turn around.
Mm-hmm.
It really will.
Oh, yeah.
And I love all the things that you said to start your day. You know,
breathe.
Yeah, will you put that on our Facebook?
You know what? Let's do that.
Yeah.
I'm going to put those 5 points up on the Facebook.
Okay,
yeah.
I appreciate that. Yeah. And Steve, great job on our board.
Thank you for having
me. Thank you for all my callers. And, you know, I just want to say I appreciate you all being here. I appreciate my sponsors. And, you know, keep joining us every morning. We're on Monday through Friday from 8 to 9 and then again from 3 to 4. And have a really great day, and I'll talk to you tomorrow. I'm Kim, and you've been listening to The Kim Pagano Show.
Do you ever feel like a plastic bag drifting through the wind, wanting to start again? Do you ever feel so paper thin, like a house of cards, one blow from caving in?